listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I hope this is not my top accomplishment of 2023, but it is saying something that we're not even 3 weeks in and I've already done something that I've never done before. Are you ready? I made my own taco seasoning on Wednesday. It's Wednesday, right? Yes. I made my own taco seasoning. I'm so proud of myself. I had designated Wednesday as my taco night after I did my cardio, and I'm rifling through. I have a bag full of envelopes, seasoning envelopes for various things, different chilies, and I like to try different seasonings, mixes that you might put on chicken or beef or salmon, those types of things. So I even have some Mexican mixes. And so I keep a bunch of mixes just because I like to try new things. Well, crazy enough, I went to look, rifle through my bag of mixes, and I was sure that I had some type of taco or fajita mix. Nope. I had 17 packets of various chili mixes just for fun, but no taco mix. So I get my handy dandy phone out. My smartphone for once actually was smart. And I Google, make your own taco mix. And wouldn't you know, I had all the ingredients except for one, actually. Who knew that I was out of oregano in my kitchen? I don't even know how I can be Italian and be out of oregano, but I guess it's been a bit, and so I had to put it on my shopping list. But yeah, I didn't have the oregano. Otherwise, though, I now know the ingredients that go into a simple and basic taco mix. And wouldn't you know, I made my own. Very proud of myself. That it's one of those kind of outside of my comfort zone moments in the kitchen, thinking there's no way this is going to work. I'm going to ruin it. There's sugar in taco mix. That was my next thought. I didn't end up using nearly as much sugar as it called for, but it was good. I wouldn't say that it was spicy. It didn't have a whole lot of bite to it, maybe because I didn't have oregano. But yeah, first time ever making my own taco mix. And so my tacos tonight had bell pepper. I love to use orange bell pepper. It's my favorite. It's the sweetest, I think, along with red onion. I don't think I ended up putting the mushrooms in, mostly because I was focused on all the different spices that have to go into taco mix. This particular one had onion powder and garlic powder and paprika. And, oh gosh, now I can't remember all of the different things that it had in it. Sugar, salt. Oh, chili powder. Who knew? I had no idea that taco mix had chili powder in it, but I guess that stands to reason. Too bad it didn't have chili mix in it, because I have plenty of those, just not any taco mix. So that's also on my list, although maybe I'll just keep making my own, because it was pretty good. Maybe add some red pepper flakes next time and see how that spices up my life. Hey, I hope you survived your Wednesday. And if you're like me and you decided to go off the beaten path and do tacos on a Wednesday instead of Taco Tuesday, well, more power to you. It's January. Live your best life, baby. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. However long you can stick around, we're glad to have you. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, a lot of traffic. Although I didn't do a whole lot of social media on Wednesday, I had some other stuff that I was doing and some phone calls and just was busy in the house. when I woke up. And I woke up way too early and my brain started and that was the end of sleeping. Anyway, the only tweet that I actually put out myself on Wednesday was about Star Wars. So it had to be a good day. It was a unique day with only Star Wars tweets. So we would love for you to check us out on either Twitter or Facebook. There's always a bunch of photos. And if you're wondering about the Christmas mason jar full of M&Ms, we have heard from two of our winners. And so those packages of swag will be going out soon. But we're still waiting on the other three. So we haven't yet heard from all five of our winners, but we do appreciate that we had thousands and thousands of answers. So a lot of you finding us on social. You can also check out our YouTube channel, which is named after the show. So we're going to dive into some playoff prep on this edition of After Hours, but I had an idea and I thought it would be fun, even in light of half the league looking for its next coach or its next quarterback or its next offensive lineman or big defender or just in general, trying to figure out how to give the team a leg up in 2023 and take advantage of this time that these teams have before we start to see playoff eliminations, right? So there's a whole chunk of the NFL that's not working on business for next year. They have the privilege of being part of the tournament. They have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Great. That's awesome. But the rest of the league, for now at least, is not competing with an entire NFL of 32 teams when it comes to coaching interviews, when it comes to trying to figure out their draft board early, their free agent needs, all of that stuff these teams are getting a head start on. So I guess it's a small consolation prize for not making the playoffs. But there's a lot of business going on behind the scenes. And so because of that, there are a ton of fan bases who, not that you don't care about the playoffs, because I think that's the great thing about the NFL is that I can talk about the Jaguars and they care in Seattle, and I can talk about the Cardinals and fans in New England care. It's really a coast-to-coast sport. It's one that captivates us regardless of our rooting interest. We care about the other storylines around the league. Now, we may not be informed about them all, judging by our Facebook page. Some of you are not necessarily informed about what is happening around the rest of the league. My favorite is when I post an interview with an insider designed specifically to answer questions about that team. And then a person will post on the link with a question that I asked the insider and got answers for. But hey, don't bother to listen to it because that would take too long. Instead, take the time to post your question. I appreciate your validation that I asked the questions that you would like to know. So we're offering a lot of information this time of the year because there's a ton of uncertainties around the league. So in light of that, with so many questions, very few answers, and yet opinions that really outweigh pretty much everything else, right? So it's like a marriage, isn't it? We commit. As fans, we are in it for the long haul. I once did a show, I felt very cool, where I was asking you your ride or die in sports, right? Doesn't that make me sound so hip? Your ride or die in sports. Like, who is it that you would say is your ride or die? We have a lot of rooting interest. We have fun. We maybe are invested in various teams, but we have one generally ride or die when it comes to sports. And so that was comparing it to a relationship and using the relationship metaphor. I think in a lot of cases, we would go by some of the older, more traditional phrases for wedding vows, which are for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. Now, if that doesn't describe our relationships with our NFL teams and our favorite franchises, I don't know what does. It's not specific to the NFL. You can be a baseball ride or die, or I don't know, you could be a tennis ride or die. They're getting ready to start the Australian Open down under. There's some news coming from Melbourne. Anyway, we'll get to that at some later point. So I was thinking in light of that, and if we're in it for the long haul, that sometimes means that there are the highest of the highs, but there are the lowest of the lows. And so for better or worse is kind of how I'm looking at this particular question that I'm going to throw out for you tonight. What were the betters and what were the worst? See, that sounds awkward. So I'll have to figure out a way to phrase it. But since we're with our teams for better or for worse, looking back at this particular season, where, you know, what was the high? What was the low for your team? Right? Maybe there's a particular record or one particular player that had a breakout season and that you're thrilled. Maybe your team finally found its quarterback. Thinking around the rest of the NFL, we'll do a quick synopsis. And it's not all about the numbers, but the numbers definitely paint a picture. The number of quarterbacks who have started games this year is, well, it's astounding. It really is. And so when I think about the idea of, hey, maybe your team found a quarterback, I'm not sure how many teams that applies to because there are so many teams. The majority of teams in the NFL were starting multiple quarterbacks this year because of injuries or ineptitude. We do have the latest on a couple of the teams going into the playoff weekend who have quarterback questions too. So we'll get to that. But yeah, when you think about your favorite team, your ride or die in the NFL, what was the high point this season? What was the high? What was the mountaintop? And what was the valley? The lowest of the valley. Because it's always a combination of the highs and the lows. It's the NFL, right? So you don't have any teams that it's nothing but highs. I suppose there are a few teams that you could say there are more lows. But every team, if you're a true fan, you want your team to win. I'm not a big believer in if you're a true fan, you want your team to lose so they can have the number one draft pick. I think that's dumb. But anyway, every team, even the Houston Texans, had a couple of highs. And I think this last weekend, if you want to win and you've missed the feeling of winning, well then Lovie Smith did you a solid this last weekend and gave you some reason to crow and to cheer. So what was the high for your team this season and what was the low for your team this season? And speaking of highs, pretty excited to hear the news, to read the news, and to hear talk of the news that 9 days after DeMar Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest on the field in Cincinnati, as the world was watching this medical emergency, we could see the reactions of his teammates. We know the ambulance was out there. I recently discovered there's video of his ambulance with a police escort heading to the UC Medical Center. As scary, as terrifying as it was, for the people who are on site, as well as the fans, and then 2 days of waiting and waiting and waiting. All of that, and yet he's home. He's home, not just in Buffalo, as in the city, but actually released from the hospital and home 9 days later. Wow, that's a miracle. Certainly a testament to the medical care that he received, both on the field, in the immediacy, as well as in the aftermath, and absolutely, the prayers and the support and the people who were pouring into this family and this young man. I do believe that there's power in this encouragement, the support, the faith, the prayers. And man, he had a remarkable recovery in under a week and a half.
Grateful first and foremost that he's home and with his parents and his brother, which is great. I'm sure it's felt like a long time since he's been able to be home. Naturally there, and I'm sure it's a great feeling.
It's an awesome feeling. You know, we're just hoping that he's getting his rest and his recovery, and as a team, we're extremely happy. Some guys were chomping at the bit to go see him, but you know, against doctor's orders, just making sure that he's, like I said, getting his rest and recovery, and taking it slow, and obviously just trying to get back to being himself. So we'll take all the time that we need, but hope he knows that guys are ready to see him.
Josh Allen, and before that, Sean McDermott, who are thinking about playoffs, of course, but talking about their teammate, the player who gave them all quite a scare, but also, as DeMar has even referenced on his social media, brought the NFL fraternity as well as NFL fan bases together. This is some kind of unity and togetherness for one common goal, and that was to, again, pray, support, encourage, believe, and see DeMar Hamlin recover. And now he's back at his home in Buffalo with his family, discharged from Buffalo General Medical Center and the Gates Vascular Institute on Wednesday. 9 days, two cities, two hospitals, a lot of scary moments, and nearly $9 million. I actually hadn't updated you on his toy drive, the Chasing M's Foundation Community Toy Drive GoFundMe page in quite a while. I was looking at it last night just to kind of see where it is. Yeah, the numbers are still climbing. Nearly 246,000 donations at this point, and the total, $8.782 million. As his parents told DeMar, you have a lot of toys to buy when you're healthy and ready to go. Yeah, closing in on $8.8 million. And every now and then I page through the top donations just to see who else around the NFL community donated money. And two things that you'll see: there are a lot of recognizable names, but there are also a lot of the franchises listed. So these franchises all have budgets for charitable foundations to pour money into the communities, and also in many cases to support not just initiatives like this, but initiatives of their own players who have foundations or who put together charitable events and community outreaches. And so every team has that. But then in addition, something else that I noticed, there seemed to be, now I guess the titles could be misleading, but there seemed to be a lot of fantasy football leagues who have donated money, maybe all their winnings, maybe the pot, to DeMar Hamlin's GoFundMe page, this Chasing M's Foundation. At least according to the titles, right? It makes it look like there are a bunch of fantasy football leagues out there that decided this is what they would do. So I think that's pretty amazing. And there had been a couple updates on the page from the family, but now DeMar is busy with the social media again, and so there's a lot of updates from him personally, which is great. You heard Josh Allen say they're not allowed to see him. They desperately want to go visit him, but under doctor's orders, at this point, he's probably supposed to be quiet. Maybe they're worried about what other germs or anything else, you know, who knows, viruses, just wanting to be sure his immunity is built back up and he's strong again, maybe doesn't get too excited. Although, jumping up and down once Nyheim Hines goes 96 yards with the opening kick for a touchdown and sets Orchard Park on fire. He's jumping up and down. He's yelling, and he sets off every alarm in the ICU, according to his doctors. I'm not sure that was what they had in mind in keeping him calm and quiet. So we're going to launch into playoff prep, but I would love to hear from you. I'll see if I can put up a post on our social media. But the high point for your team this year and the low point for your team this year. And it certainly can be a playoff team. It's not just the teams that are already into the offseason business. But every team has a high point, and yes, every team has a low point. And I found in my own life, even looking back at 2022, which I feel like had more low points for me, it was a tough year with a bunch of disappointment and some loss and some grief for me personally, but also for people that I love. It helps me to think about the high points. It helps me to think about the positives and the prayers that were answered and the reasons I have to be grateful, even as I process some of the pain and some of the lower points. So I'm thinking of the Facts of Life. How many people ever watch the Facts of Life sitcom? The theme song, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. Well, it's a little bit like that. For better or worse, We're connected to our teams. Ride or die for life, baby. So what were the highs and what were the lows for this season? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught! Touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Podcast.
Fourth down and three, tied at six. 23 seconds on the clock. A win here in a Bills win would give the Dolphins the playoffs. It's up, and it is good!
Wow, biggest kick of the year for Jason Sanders, and he comes through.
With 18 seconds left, the Dolphins lead it 9-6.
What a big kick for Jason Sanders. Wow.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Nice that Jason Sanders was able to get that 50-yarder. He had just one 50-yard or longer field goal made all season. Not only does it end the Dolphins' five-game losing skid, but it puts them over the hump. And yes, the Bills beat the Patriots on Sunday. So the Dolphins get into the playoffs for the first time since 2016 as a 9-8 squad. And they've done it having to use this revolving door at quarterback. Certainly not optimal for Mike McDaniel, this offensive wonderkind. He's known for his creativity on that side of the ball, and he and Tua had a very good connection going back to the very beginning. Remember the plane flight where he's telling Tua something about how this is going to be the best day of your life? Anyway, so they clearly had some good ideas and a good connection. And initially the Dolphins won three in a row right out of the gate. Then they lost three in a row when Tua was in concussion protocol for the first time. Then they won five in a row when he came back. Then we started to see more cracks in the dam again. And the last we knew about Tua, he was self-reporting concussion-like symptoms again. And even though we continue to hear from Mike McDaniel, and even though they're preparing for a playoff game, there's not been anything new, unfortunately, on Tua. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Dolphins take on the Bills this weekend in Orchard Park. It's the first game of the slate on Sunday, and McDaniel talking about his starting quarterback.
Tua has not been cleared by doctors to resume football activities on the field with his teammates. So because of that and because of the time that he's missed, I can rule him out for Sunday.
Right now, it appears as though Skylar Thompson will be starting this playoff game. He's not the only rookie quarterback who will be starting a playoff game. Think about what the Niners have done with Brock Purdy since he took over for one Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, Skylar definitely has had extra reps this season because of what's happened with the quarterback situation. Teddy Bridgewater, he's gone through his own injuries and has really not been able to stay on the field, even though he was the backup to Tua. So if Skylar Thompson starts on Sunday, this will be his seventh different appearance of the season. And yeah, he was the guy last week when the Dolphins were playing against the Jets to stay alive.
Good thing for me, I feel like I got a pretty good just feel for what a playoff game kind of would look like just last week. You know, it was a winner go home type situation for us. So getting to experience kind of what that felt like last week, I think was helpful. But, you know, this week is just going to be like any other week for me. This entire season is just preparing. Like, I'm going to be the starter and getting reps to where, you know, I can build some confidence throughout the week and build continuity with this offense to where we go out there, we can play fast and play with confidence on Sunday.
It's tough, though, to think about them generating a ton of offense on the road against Buffalo that has a tough and physical defense and, of course, is going to be feeling the support of the crowd. If you look over the course of the Dolphins' five-game losing skid, they had 17 points at San Francisco, 17 points at the Los Angeles Chargers, and then 29 points actually at the Buffalo Bills. So that goes back to just 5 weeks ago. Then they scored 20 points at home against the Packers and 21 points on the road at the Patriots. Their schedule was brutal over the final 5 weeks. Really, well, leading into the Jets game. The Jets game was in Miami. But if you think about it, the 5 weeks before that, which were around the holidays, at San Francisco, at LA, at Buffalo, home to Green Bay, and then at New England. Ouch. And so Skylar Thompson is definitely getting trial by fire. And then against the Jets, they had no touchdowns. Nobody had any touchdowns. It was a touchdown-less Week 18. I may or may not have sent a text to producer Jay saying, thank heavens the Dolphins-Jets game is not the only one on in our market. Because a lot of times in New York, if there's a Jets or Giants game in a particular window, you don't get a game on the other channel. And I was so grateful that the Bills and Patriots were also on national TV.
I was like, hey.
So I also had NFL Network and I had my radio on. I was listening to another game on the radio. So yeah, I have a lot of different ways I can follow games. But oy, that one was tough to watch. And during the game, I tweeted that I'm not sure I want to see this version of the Dolphins in the playoffs. This is tough. This offense is tough to stomach. It's tough to watch. But that's where Mike McDaniel is. Now, you'd rather be in than not. But still, it could be tough sledding in Buffalo. And I don't. If you're a betting type, and if you are watching the lines, what I've heard, I don't know the numbers, but I've heard that with the updates on Tua's health, the spread has become even greater for the Bills-Dolphins game, and that at least at this point right now, it's got the greatest spread. Does that make sense? Does that sound like I know what I'm talking about, Marco? It's got the greatest largest spread. Yeah, okay, sorry.
I just looked it up. It's 13.
Spread. All right. So, yeah, it's pretty astronomical for a playoff game.
I'm pretty sure yesterday I was looking at it was 9.5.
Yeah, no, I knew it was growing.
The line moved quite a bit in one day.
It did. Okay, so really quickly, before we get to Marco then, that's Tua not playing this weekend. Lamar Jackson has not been ruled out for the Ravens against the Bengals, which is a rematch of just last weekend. However, he's still not practicing. And so he's still working on the side with a trainer. Tyler Huntley was in practice, but wasn't throwing when the media when the media was available to watch. Though, according to John Harbaugh, Tyler Huntley is on schedule at least. And he actually says, well, it doesn't matter who our quarterback is this weekend.
We're going to play with the guys we got out there, and we're excited about the guys. We have total confidence in everybody, you know, and we got a really good team.
Everybody?
We got a really good team, and you go out there as a team, and you play it as a team, and you compete and fight as a team, and that's what we'll be doing.
Okay, and John Harbaugh has continued to say that there's not that much difference in the offense between Tyler Huntley and Lamar. Yes, the entire offense was built around Lamar. They like Tyler Huntley because he brings similar skills, but not the same as Lamar, not the same speed, explosiveness. Love his vision and just the way that he will attack, even from the quarterback position. I miss him. It's been forever, I feel like, since we've seen him. Six consecutive starts now. And the Baltimore Ravens obviously miss him. Their offense is sputtering without him as well. So two challenges there in the AFC. And these are divisional games, right? So no love lost, a lot of familiarity. You generally tend to throw spreads and history out the window, except that both of these teams in the AFC East and North are dealing with potentially third-string quarterbacks you're talking about, depending on what happens. So that's not the way that you want to go in, but at least you're in. I suppose there's that. At least you're in, and you're not home or interviewing coaching candidates. Speaking of that, we've got some updates as we head through this edition of After Hours. But coming up next, Carlos Correa, the man himself, explains why he ended up back in Minnesota and what this last month has been like for him, and also explaining to the Twins how they were not his last choice. I mean, you're going to want to hear this. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, what was the high point for your NFL team this year? What was the low point? Play a little game of high-low. And so you can find it either on the show Twitter or mine, and then also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. The spread is largest. It's largest, not biggest, greatest. Largest, greatest. It's growing.
It is growing.
It's growing. I don't know,
when the line moves like 4 points.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
It's in a day.
That's a
lot
deal.
Of movement.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Now the 2-1 pitch, a high fly ball to left field and deep. This one is back towards the wall, up and gone, a home run. Carlos Correa clears the wall and left, another two-run homer, and the Twins now lead 9-0 here in the seventh inning.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Twins Radio will have Carlos Correa back in the lineup. The 28-year-old has landed right back where he started, but not without a ton of attention, a lot of speculation, ooh, some big numbers being thrown around, medical test upon medical test upon doctor and more doctors in multiple cities with three different franchises, but the All-Star is back home. Here's my question. I don't know if anyone asked him this at his introductory That's kind of funny in and of itself. His introductory press conference. His press conference on Wednesday. But did he get rid of his home? Had he bought a home in Minnesota? Because he wasn't there very long. Was he renting? Was he in an apartment? Did he stay in a penthouse? And had he already given it up? Moved? Was he gone? Was it only temporary housing? These are the things that my inquiring mind wants to know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Carlos Correa went from Minneapolis to San Francisco to New York back to Minneapolis. So after the Twins signed off on his medicals, and they'd already checked his ankle, according to the reports, even before we knew about the 6 years, $200 million that he was getting from the Twins, higher average annual value than what was in the contract with the Mets or the Giants, but obviously not as long, half as long as those deals. They had already looked at the ankle slash lower right leg scans, and they'd already done the medical test there. They knew about the plate, of course. They're familiar with him because he was with their franchise last year. And so he had one deal on December 13th. That fell apart. The Mets kind of swooped in. That doesn't surprise me. Steve Cohen thinks he's going to grab Correa in this kind of moment of uncertainty with the Giants and make this huge splash, and offers not quite as much money, 13 years for the Giants, 12 years for the Mets. I was going to say one less year, but that sounds awkward. Anyway, so that was right before Christmas. And then there were flag physicals there too. Steve Cohen got just a little bit too eager and thought, oh, well, the Giants are probably just making something out of nothing. But they couldn't reach an agreement either. And so Carlos Correa is back in Minnie. And here's the crazy part. He hasn't missed any time. Not even one game because of this particular ankle injury. It goes back to 2014 when he was with the minors or the minor league team for the Astros. And he has played. He's obviously been very successful. He's been an all-star with a lot of gaudy numbers. But the doctors couldn't agree about his right ankle. And I guess the concern is that over time, there could be some breakdown, maybe about the position he's playing, but just the wear and tear. And that to me is a concern if you are thinking about a 12 or 13 year deal, one that would take you up to and past him turning 40 years old. But at this point, I can understand why the Twins are completely comfortable, because they had him last year. They saw him work. They have been able to not only give him new medical exams and new physical, but he was with them last year, and so they got that kind of physical up close and personal, and they had no problem with bringing him back. But there's a little bit of spin that has to take place now, because there are a lot of fans in Minneapolis who believe that the Twins were not his first choice or his second choice, and really he wanted to go anywhere but to back to Minnesota.
Minnesota was always in that small group of teams that I told Scott at the beginning of a free agency. You know, the whole free agency process is a very complicated process, as we know, and a lot of things happen along the way. But at the end of the day, all that matters is that I'm here. I'm going to represent this city. I'm going to represent this organization. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to play hard every single day. I'm going to be out there in the community helping as much as I can. And all that matters is what I do from this moment forward for this organization. I'm really focused on that. I'm really focused on giving my all. Me and my family are going to be very dedicated to this city, and that's going to be for a long time. So we're very happy and excited.
All right, so maybe the fans don't love the way that it played out. However, he is saying all the right things. They're going to not only work there, they're going to plant roots there. They plan on contributing to the community and to being part of not just the Minnesota Twins, but the Minneapolis area, and doing what they can. So I like that from Carlos Correa. What else is he going to say? He did refer to his agent, Scott Boras. This was on the short list. And I hope with the longer term deal, the Twins can use him and the money that they gave him and the 6 years of that deal to maybe attract some other free agents, or to show the rest of the American League, or to show really the rest of baseball that they are serious about trying to get back to being a winning franchise. But what about the Mets and the Giants? Because those were his original choices and original destinations, and the problems with his physical.
Very surprising, especially because, you know, in 2022, I did three physicals. I did one full physical with Dr. Eletrash before I did the physical with the Twins before I signed the deal, and then I did an exit physical with Dr. Kemp again, and everything was fine. So, you know, going into that physical, there was no concerns on my part. My body feels great. I played throughout the whole season. Never felt better. So, yeah, it was surprising.
So that's his reaction to all of the question marks around an injury that goes back to 2014 that's never caused him to miss any time. Surgically repaired, it would certainly seem like the surgery did its job and the doctors did their work. But I don't fault the teams for having somewhat of a pause and wanting to cover their butts or have contingency plans if you're thinking about a 12 or 13 year deal. So I guess I wish that I could ask the Mets and the Giants, why didn't you consider 5 years, 6 years? Because it stands to reason that if what they're concerned about is the wear and tear of that position and him playing every day over the long haul, then give him what the Twins gave him, was a six-year deal that had more money in the average annual value. And Correa will have a chance to prove this on the field, but even now he's saying, hey, there's nothing wrong. I don't have any problems with this injury.
One thing I learned throughout the whole process was that doctors have a difference of opinions. I had a lot of doctors tell me that I was fine. I have some doctors that said, it wasn't so fine. It was shocking to me because since I had the surgery, I never missed a game. I never got in treatment in my ankle. My ankle's never hurt. When the news came, it was a little shocking. I'm ready. I'm in my mind with the expertise of some doctors, named doctors like Dr. Eletrash telling me that, it's the ankle is great. It's in great shape. Dr. Kemp here telling me that I'm in outstanding shape, even better than last year. He told me so. That mentally going to next season for the rest of my career, I'm going to treat it like I've always treated, just going to compete every single day, give my everything out there on the field, and help my organization win championships.
I suppose that if you were a cynic or less inclined to believe what you hear, or you think about doctors and how they may be hired by particular teams. Now, in this case, he's mentioning multiple doctors. And these doctors are not just available to the Twins. They're available to other teams as well. We're talking specialists here. But if you were a cynic, maybe you think, well, he's only going to listen to the doctors that are giving him the news that he wants. But I still think it's a lot more about the long term than it is about the short term. I think the Twins made a good deal and found a good compromise. And he does have a full no-trade clause. And so he doesn't, at least at this point, seem to be looking for the first exit ramp out of Minnesota.
I couldn't be more happier. My family's very happy. Danielle is excited. Kylo is going to grow up to be Minnesota Nice, which I love. we're very excited. I get more Juicy Lucy's also.
Is that a thing in Minneapolis, Juicy Lucy's? Or did I not understand him right? I got to have to Google it. Juicy Lucy.
Excited. I get more Juicy Lucy's also.
All right. Juicy Lucy. Actually, there's Juicy Lucy's not that far from where. There's Juicy Lucy's on Long Island, it says, Producer Jay. Have you ever heard of a Juicy Lucy juice bar?
I have not, but I looked it up after I heard him say that. And they're apparently just like a stuffed hamburger, right? I think they're native to the Minnesota area from what I'm reading.
And a delicious hamburger stuffed with molten, bubbly, water-falling cheese?
Water-falling cheese.
Oh, I need a Juicy Lucy. But there's also something called a Juicy Lucy juice bar, which apparently that's not what he was referring to.
That's just like a drink?
Juice bar. Yeah, I don't know if juice bars and hamburgers come from the same place, but looks like it is stuffed. A burger stuffed with cheese. Molten, bubbly, water-falling cheese.
Water-falling cheese.
I want a hamburger stuffed with cheese. Whew. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught!
touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Are you in love with me?
Just answer the question.
The L Word Generation Q is back on Showtime.
It would be nice to have something real.
It's coming for you.
When it's all about finding the one.
I love our life together, and I want more of it.
This crew will keep you guessing.
What is going on between you two?
I made a mistake.
Have some fun with me.
Who is Endgame?
It's the kind of sapphic chaos I live for.
When it all gets out of control.
New episodes of The L Word Generation Q are streaming now only on Showtime.